And then, Lord, ask your blessing now as we open your word, speak to our hearts. And may we be helped from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you spiritual? No pressure, you don't have to answer that question. We started this lesson last week dealing with what a spiritual person is. And really, we spent most of our time last week looking at the false marks of spirituality. Usually, when someone asks me, are you spiritual, or we think about our own spirituality, we put up a lot of marks that really are not right scripturally. And we're going to review those here in a minute. But I want to get to how to be a, if you say, well, man, look, I look at my life and I am not spiritual. Okay? When we look at the what true spirituality is, and I examine my life and compare my life to it, I'm not. How can I be spiritual? That's where we're going today. Now, I ended the lesson last week by making a statement that is not true. I said, look, if you want to know how to truly be spiritual, come next week. It's easy. Well, now, being truly spiritual is not easy. I think the Bible gives us some very clear steps on how to be spiritual. I don't really think it's a mystery how to be spiritual, but knowing it and doing it are two separate things. Because every one of us has to deal with our old flesh and the devil and the world. And those things don't want us to be spiritual. They want us to be carnal. But hopefully this morning when you leave, I hope you'll stay until we're done, you will know how you can be spiritual, at least the practical ways and things that must be done. And again, I'll tell you, to be honest with you, it's not rocket science. You don't need to go to a seminar and pay lots of money to find out how you can be spiritual. Okay? Now, if you want to pay me lots of money after the lesson, that's fine. You know, that's not a problem. We'll put it to good use. We'll invest it for you in the ministry. But folks, the Bible is very clear that you as a believer can be spirit controlled. You can be a spiritual person. And there are some very obvious steps that we can take to be spiritual. Now, very quickly, let's review from last week. Marks, false marks of spirituality. Let's just open it up to you. What are some things, if you were here last week, that we often look to say that I do this or I don't do this, therefore I am spiritual? All right, all of them pretty much are comparing ourselves to other people. But what specific areas? What's that? Church attendance would be something. That would be a separation issue. I don't do this, I don't do that, but I do this. Now, let's be honest. Most of the time when we talk about spirituality, I am spiritual because I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. But the simple matter of fact is, there were a group of people called the Pharisees, and they didn't do anything. I mean, they even made laws to keep themselves from breaking laws. You know, like the speed limit 70. Now, I know what most of us do. We go how fast? 70, 75. Let's pray for Willie back there. We go 75 because they'll give you five, right? Now, a Pharisee would say, wait, the speed limit's 70 miles an hour, so I'm not going to go past 65. Because I don't want to break the law of 70, see? So they were very separated, but were they spiritual? No, they were not. We could talk about personal separation. We can talk about being evangelistically aggressive. I hand out tracts. I try to witness to people. Does that make you spiritual? No. In fact, Paul said there were a group of people who were trying to give the gospel out of totally wrong motives. They were trying to make his life worse by giving out the gospel, which is an amazing thing. The simple matter of fact is, we can give out the gospel out of pride. Oh, I won this man to Christ this week. I'm bringing him forward because I am so spiritual. Okay? One of the other ones we looked at was biblical knowledge. Is it possible to know the Word of God a great deal and not be spiritual? You bet it is. And there are people like that all around the world. They know a great deal about the Word of God, but they are dead spiritually. The fourth one we looked at was spiritual gifts. I'm able to get up and sing, or I'm able to minister to people, and they are blessed through my spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given by God. He has chosen to give them to us. He doesn't give them to us because we are spiritual. That's God's choice. Why are some people blessed with great musical voices? Because God saw fit to do that. Now, they may have taken some training, but that's God's spiritual gift. Just because God uses me does not mean I'm spiritual. Okay? All right, so those are the four things we looked at last week. By the way, again, let me go back. If you are spiritual, will you know the Word of God? If you are spiritual, will you be winning people to Christ? If you are spiritual, will you be separated from the world? If you are spiritual, will you be practicing your spiritual gifts? Yes, 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 and yes. But just because those things are happening does not mean you're spiritual. Now, let's remind ourselves what the word spiritual means. I mentioned it in the introduction. The word spiritual is one who is controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? The word carnal is one who is controlled by what? The flesh. Now, this morning, if I was going to take your spiritual temperature, and we start right here with my cupboard, we would say, all right, his spiritual temperature is based on whether he is being controlled right now by the flesh or by the Spirit. Now, can my cupboard be controlled by the flesh and the Spirit at the same time? No, these two are contrary one to the other. They're totally opposite. The flesh will always want you to do wrong. The Spirit will always want you to do right. Okay? So, are you spiritual? Well, the answer is, or the question then becomes, are you being controlled by the Spirit of God? Now, we looked at three commands in the Word of God last week in our relationship to the Spirit of God. The first one was found in Revelation 2 and 3. What was that command from God? Said to every church, all seven churches, hear, listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Spirit of God. Look, you will never be spirit controlled. Now, this is not rocket science either, okay? You'll never be spirit controlled if you do not listen to the Spirit of God. How do you know that your children are listening? You say, my children never listen. I don't have a clue. Never has happened. You know they're listening because of their response, right? He said, now you need to hear the Spirit of God. And secondly, in Ephesians 5:18, you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And then we looked in Galatians 5, and the final one is you need to walk, have a daily walk in the Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. Are you spiritual? You say, what do you mean? Are you being controlled by the Spirit of God? Are you listening? Are you in subjection, doing what he commands? Are you walking a daily walk? You know, the spiritual walk, if you're a mature believer, ought to be the norm. And all that means is you're going through the day and you say something to someone and the Spirit of God says, shouldn't have said that. And you go to that person, you say, Mark, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And you go through the day and the Spirit of God says you need to witness to that person, and so you do. And the Spirit of God says you need to do this or do that. You need to be kind to your wife. You need to tell your wife how wonderful that meal was. Or you need to thank your wife or your husband or whatever, and you're listening to the Spirit of God. Here it is, folks. The spiritual life is walking in the Spirit. The Spirit says, take that step, and you do. The Spirit says, take that step, and you do. The Spirit says, take that step, and you do. Now, when you do that, what is your life going to be like? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Now, I want to expand a little bit on what your life is like if you're spirit controlled. Okay? This is all Ephesians 5 and 6. All right, here it is. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. All right? Now, if you are spirit controlled, here's what's going to be in your life. You ready? Here we go. Number one. Speaking to what? Who? Yourselves. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So a spiritual person has been changed on the inside. Now that really makes sense, doesn't it? When you got saved, you received the Spirit of God to indwell you. And the Spirit of God is, what does the Spirit of God want to do in your life? What's his goal in your life? To make you like Christ, to conform you to the image of Christ. So the Spirit of God is working in your life, changing you from the inside out. If you're a real believer and you're spirit controlled, your inside is going to be different. Spiritually, he's working to change you. It's like metamorphosis, isn't it? What happens with metamorphosis? A caterpillar changes and becomes something beautiful, a butterfly. By the way, it's interesting. How many of you have been to a caterpillar show? Now, I'm not talking about... when do you go? You don't go to see caterpillars. You go to see what? Butterflies. We're in Cincinnati. I took the senior citizens to Cincinnati. And at the Crohn's Conservatory, we just missed it. We were a day early. They were getting ready for a butterfly show of all these butterflies from Brazil. Why? Well, because they're beautiful. They change their form. And folks, you know what's going on in your life today as a believer? The Spirit of God is coming to you and he's saying, Mark, you need to change so that you become like Christ. And Lori said, amen. That's right. Mr. Hale, I'm doing really well. I haven't picked on you yet, brother. I'm really doing well. Do you know that process? Are you experiencing that in your life? Paul said, look, you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And if you do, he's going to be working in you to change you. Now, by the way, without the Spirit of God, and you try to make changes in your life, they are from the outside in, right? How effective is that? Well, how many of you said you're going to go on a diet this year and you're not on it anymore? No, don't raise your hand. Just kidding. But the Spirit of God is working in you to change you from the inside out. Now look what else happens in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know if you're being spirit controlled? Well, number one, are you being changed from the inside out? Number two, are you a thankful person? Now look at this, folks. Look at this verse. Giving thanks most of the time for most things. Now that wouldn't be too hard, would it? Well, that's not even easy itself. But what does the Word of God say? A spirit-controlled person is being thankful always for all things. Wow. Now, let me ask you, can you do that in your flesh? By the way, what does your flesh want to do when trouble comes? Gripe and complain. I mean, that's your problem. I don't have a problem, but you guys do, I'm sure. A spirit-controlled person says, thank the Lord. Wow. Should we stop and have an invitation? Goodness gracious. You see, folks, not only are you in a changing relationship from the inside out, but God is, he is working on your circumstances. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says the same thing, doesn't he? In everything, give thanks. You say, Gary, what is God's will for my life? I just told you. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, listen. When we gripe and complain, you know what is happening? When you gripe and complain, are you being controlled by the Spirit of God? No. So therefore, you're being controlled by your flesh. Well, that's easy, isn't it? Simple. Simple. Spirit-controlled person is being changed. He's got a song in his heart. the joy of the Lord in his life. He is thankful for all things. You say, well, I can do those two. Well, hang on. We got one more coming. Look at the next verse. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I mentioned last week, charismatics say, if you are spirit-filled, you will do what? Speak in tongues. You'll shout, you'll run up and down the aisles, and you'll scream and holler. I can do that in the flesh, can't you? But what about submitting yourselves one to another? Placing your desires under the needs of somebody else. Now, look what it says. Lest you should say, boy, I'm spiritual. Verse 22. Let's have all the women read this verse. No, I'm just kidding. I'll read it. You say, women, you say, I am married. I am a spirit-controlled person. All right, here's the checkup. Wives, submit yourselves under your own husbands as unto the Lord. You say, man, I'm going to become a charismatic. That's speaking in tongues a whole lot easier than submitting myself to my husband. Now, husbands, lest you should get too excited about this. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Now, you say, well, great, she's supposed to submit to me and I'm the boss. And I'm gonna... Well, wait a minute now. Submission is putting things in the right order. Now, is the husband to be the leader in the home? Yes, undoubtedly. You have two heads, you got a monstrosity. Okay? The husband is to be, the wife is to submit and to put her needs below the her husband's needs. But look here, the husband is supposed to love the wife. What does that mean? Well, that means he puts his needs below his wife's needs and he seeks to meet her needs. Now, let me just ask you a question. You got marital problems? Raise your hand here. No, put your spouse's hand up. Look, here's how you solve them. Here's how you solve your marital problems. You ready? Marital counseling, right here, no charge. Be spirit-filled. That's it. Now, we got the baker sitting right here. What kind of marriage will they have if Rick says, in every situation, Jamie's needs are more important than mine, and I'm going to sacrifice what I want to meet her needs? Amen. I'm not done yet, sister. And Jamie says... You want me to stop right there, don't you? And Jamie says, I love Rick and I'm going to submit to Rick and his needs are more important than my needs and I'm going to sacrifice what I want to meet his needs. Now let me ask you, what? There you go, amen. That's first Rick, amen, I've had a Rick in 30 years, hallelujah. Now, what kind of home will the Bakers have? Wow, it'll be like heaven. Maybe it already is, I don't know. I don't live there. Real close. Amen. We'll have an invitation for you too. Now, you say, well, that's okay. What about those stinking kids I got? All right? Let's move on this passage. Let's move on. Children, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, and I missed one somewhere. Children, obey your parents. You got it? Now, if your child is spirit-controlled, what will they do? They will obey you. Can a 9-year-old child be spirit-controlled? The Randolphs need some help. I can tell. Call in the principal. He'll straighten them out. Well, now, let me ask you a question. If they could not be, is it right for God to say, children, obey your parents? I mean, does a 9-year-old child that is born again have the Spirit of God? Now, does he get more of the Spirit of God when he turns 12? No, when he got saved, he got all the Spirit of God. So we need to train our children to listen to the Spirit of God. Children, obey your parents. That's the right relationship. I'm getting bogged down. I got to move. Let's move on quickly. Verse 4. You say, well, I'll just beat the snot out of them. Wait a minute. Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So he tells fathers, look, if you're spirit controlled, you're going to discipline your children the right way. You say, well, what about at work? All right, look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You say, well, hallelujah, I'm the boss. I can do what I want to do. Wait a minute. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You know what, folks? If you're a spirit-filled Christian, not only are you going to have an interchange, not only are you going to be a thankful person, but all your relationships are going to be right. Wow. You say, Gary, man, that's what I want. All right, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. This is a parallel book. And I want to start in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. By the way, should people be able to tell if you're spirit-filled? Yes. When they wanted deacons in Acts chapter 6, what was one of the conditions? Men who are spirit-filled, filled with the Spirit of God. Well, how do they know that? We'd like you to be a deacon. Are you spirit-filled? No. They watch their lives. And if you're spirit-controlled, your life will tell. And we'll cover some more of that in church after a while. But here we go. Here we go. Colossians 4:1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Back up to verse 22 of chapter 3. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Look at verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly the same thing that he said in Ephesians 5:18. If you're spirit-filled, wives will love their husbands. They'll submit to their husbands. Husbands will love their wives. Children will obey their parents. Fathers will bring their children up to nurture and admonition of the Lord. Masters will treat their servants right. Servants will treat the masters right. And he's given us exactly the same thing in this passage. But I want to look at verse 16. Oh, let me back up. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks. Does that sound familiar? Look at end of verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Those are all the exact same things that we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, but there's a major difference. Look at the beginning of verse 16. Now, in Ephesians 5:18, it says, and be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does this passage say? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are you thinking? So a spirit-controlled person is a what? A person who has the word of God dwelling in them richly. Now, what does the word dwell mean? Some of you are going to stay for church, you're going to go home, and you're going to go to your dwelling, right? It's where you live, it's where you stay. And he said, let the word of God, the scriptures, be inside of you, indwelling with you, staying with you at all times, and changing you. It's interesting, this word to dwell is used 5 times in your Bible. The Greek word for dwell. 4 of those 5, this is great, 4 of those 5 talk about the indwelling of what? The Spirit of God. And he uses the same word, and he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly. Isn't that amazing? Being filled with the Spirit will produce the same thing as being filled and controlled by the word of God. All right, if that's the case, you still with me? If that's the case, then what do we need to do to be spirit-filled, spirit-controlled people? This is where you answer. What do you need to do? All right, how do you do that? Turn to Psalm 119. Dr. Fremont gave this to us at Bob Jones years and years ago. It's a great thing. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. You say, Gary, I want to be a spirit-filled person. I want to be loving my wife or my husband the way I should. I want to be the kind of parent I should be. I want to be the kind of worker or boss that I should be. All right, here it is. Psalm 119, 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, Dr. Fremont called this the 4M principle. The first one is to mark the word of God. Now, if you're going to mark it, what does that mean? Just open your Bible and start scribbling? What do you have to do first? You've got to read it. You read the word of God, and God speaks to your heart, and you mark it. Okay? Look at the next one. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, that's pretty easy. What's M? Memorize. You say, whoa. I don't mind reading, but it's memorizing stuff, you know. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask a question. Here's how the Spirit of God works. You're going through your day, and I said something to Mark Larkey I should not have said, and the Spirit of God brings back to my mind the word of God, where it says, and be ye kind one to another. And the Spirit of God says, Seaman, that was not kind. But what if I don't have God's word hidden in my heart? What's the Spirit of God going to use?
Well, Preacher Lashley said, or Pastor Jody said.
You got to know the word, folks. Now, folks, it is time that we get serious about the Word of God. You say, well, I read through the Bible this year. Well, that's a good thing. But that's not enough. You can have all kinds of knowledge. It won't help you. You got to mark it. You got to memorize it. And here, look at the next one. In verse 15. I will here he even gives you the word. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Now, again, what is meditation? It's mulling it over, thinking about it all throughout the day. If you can't remember what you read this morning, what are the chances you're going to meditate on it? Slim to none. So it's not just reading the Word of God, but it's reading it and saying, okay, God, give me something for today. God speaks to your heart. You either memorize the verse or the thought. And all throughout the day, boy, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you. And all throughout the day, and be ye kind one to another. Hey, I'm sorry about what I said to you. I really didn't mean that, really. I'm sorry. And all throughout the day, let me help you. Let me help you, brother. I want to help you out any way I can. And all throughout the day, you're meditating on be ye kind one to another. And the last thing, the fourth thing happens. Here's the fourth thing in verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. And the word we're using is master. You master it. You do it. Here's the process. The Spirit of God wants to do what in your life? He wants to change you to be like Christ. How do you find out what Christ is like? Well, the Word of God tells you. And you go through the day and you're meditating on the verses you read that morning, and you're meditating on the Word of God, and God brings those verses back to your mind, and he says, oh boy, you need to do that. And it changes your behavior, and it changes your behavior, and it changes your behavior, and you are being controlled by the Word of God. And by the way, who wrote the Word of God? Where did the Word of God come from? Did the Spirit of God have a hand in that? So do you think the Spirit of God and the Word of God are going to agree? By the way, that's a good rule to follow. If the Word of God condemns it, it doesn't matter how you feel. Well, I feel the Lord is leading me to do this. Wait a minute, the Word of God says don't do it. Well, but I feel, well, no, it doesn't happen. The Word of God and the Spirit of God always agree. Okay? And as you go through the day and you're being controlled by the Word of God, guess what? You're going to be a spirit-controlled believer. And you're going to become what God wants you to be. That's why we harp on reading the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. Now, if you will do those things, you'll be like the man in Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, what? Meditate therein. Same thing. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And my friends, if you're not in the Word of God every day, and you're not marking it, you're not meditating on it, you're not spirit controlled. And you say, Gary, I want to be spirit filled. All right. Start reading the Word of God. But that's not enough. Let God speak to you through His Word and remember it and master it. Apply it to your life as you meditate on it all day long. And if you do that, if you're controlled by the Spirit of God or the Word of God, it's just like being controlled by the Spirit of God, and you'll be a spiritual person. And when something happens in your home that is difficult for you, you'll be able to respond correctly. And when something happens at work or with your children, you'll be able to respond correctly. Why? Because you're being controlled by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? It's really pretty simple, isn't it? At least the thought. Now, doing it is a whole other matter. But let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you do that, then the parallel passage is also true for you. You'll be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, friends, that's what I need. That's what I need. And that's what you need. That's what we need. Are you spiritual? You should know by now. All of us could be more spiritual. And the way to do it is to get in this book, memorize it, meditate on it, master it, let it control your life. And as you do, you'll be spirit controlled. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to love it. Help us to dwell in it, that it might dwell in us, that it might change us, that it might control us. And Lord, I pray that even today, you would help us to be spirit-controlled, scripture-controlled believers, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.